Good evening. My name is Mike. I'm a member of All Saints Church. Hello to those I've not met. Something the church is known for, family values. And so tonight I was given this passage of family, and I'm not sure it was a great idea to give it to me. Because if I'm honest, I struggle with that word, family. And some of you may find what I'm about to say a little upsetting, and you'll consider me a miserable person. But, you know, in the spirit of encouraging honesty and vulnerability, and I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that word, family. You see, if I see something that says it's fun for all the family, I know it's going to be rubbish. And I am going to avoid it. And like, if a restaurant or a pub says it's family friendly, you know you don't want to go there. You know you are in for a disturbed meal or a drink. And maybe most controversial of all, and Jonathan, you have to cover your ears, but I've known since the day I was a child going to church that if they said it was a family service, you were better off staying at home and watching Songs of Praise that day. I'm sure you all disagree with my awful comments and are sitting there in judgment on me. But maybe one or two of you know what I'm talking about. But family, it is something that the church is well known for, family values. This is how every Christian family operates. I know that's exactly my family pictured there. But promoting family. So when I was given this talk of, you know, family, I thought presumably I'd just open the Bible, and because Christians always talk about family, there must be countless examples of wonderful, encouraging family life to inspire and encourage us. So yeah, why not? Let's take some pillars of the faith. Noah, Abraham, David. So Noah, a righteous man, but maybe not all the time. It seems after the famous incident with the ark and the water, he took to drink, and on one occasion, his son, called Ham, saw him naked in Genesis 9, you can read about this, and that was a terrible breach of etiquette at the time, so much so that Ham was cursed to be a slave of his brothers. So what about Abraham? Well, he pretended that his wife Sarah was his sister, and in fact she was actually his half-sister anyway. But because he was afraid that Pharaoh would kill him if they knew that they were married, so he could have her for himself. So Pharaoh married her, thinking that she was young, free, and single. If you want to read that, it's Genesis 12. Abraham tried exactly the same thing later on with Abimelech in Genesis 20. And his wife, Sarah, she wasn't getting pregnant, so in spite of God's promises that Abraham would have a son, he took her servant Hagar and made her pregnant instead. Okay, well, King David, he was a great king, but maybe not a great parent. 2 Samuel 13 tells of his son Amnon, who rapes his sister Tamar. Their brother Absalom is furious, and since David does nothing about it, he has Amnon murdered. And then Absalom revolts against his father and nearly succeeds in overthrowing the regime. That's 2 Samuel 15 to 18, for those of you who want to know. Absalom is killed, but David nearly throws away his victory because of his excessive grief. And then another son, Adonijah, he tried the same trick in David's old age, but was thwarted by Solomon. Wow, there you go. Wonderful, inspiring stories of family life from the Bible. We do know, though, that's not the full picture. And in recent weeks, in our services here at All Saints, we've been looking at finding God's way in a variety of different relationships, and one we can all tell a story about, maybe not quite as horrific as some of those stories from the Bible. We've all got a story to tell about family. And you know what? However happy we may be with our current family situation, we could probably all stand here and tell a fairly sad story about family. We know family isn't perfect. We know that in family, life changes. People die, people fall out. We suffer huge disappointment in family life, anxiety and worry. Families we'd hoped for never even come to be. Or family live in other parts of the world. I've got that situation. My brother Nick is 3 years younger than me, but I'm very close to him. For the last 10 years, he's been living in Vancouver in Canada, which is a beautiful part of the world, and it means it's great because every few years we save up and go and spend some wonderful time in West Canada. But it makes me really sad at other times because I don't see my brother very often, and he's got family out there, children, I don't get to see them. I find that tough. And I think family life impacts our emotions, what's sort of going on underneath, more than other relationships. I experienced that particularly 3 years ago when my son, who was one at the time, became ill and he was taken to hospital, and he stayed in hospital and they were doing lots of tests for several days, and they were talking about some fairly serious, significant things that they were exploring. And for a couple of weeks, it literally felt like this dark cloud was surrounding me and I just didn't even know how to operate. It was extraordinary, the impact that that had on me. Turned out he had celiac disease and just needs to eat gluten, which was brilliant. That was the best news we had, and he's absolutely fine. But I realized that that emotion of worry and anxiety and fear for a family member is so painful. Another one of my closest friends, maybe some of you could relate to him, he's not at this church, but he's experienced incredible distress during his life about, it's all related to his father who left his family home when he was just 13. And I know that many, many years on, this still impacts him hugely. It results in a lack of security for him and constant doubt about his father's love and his current relationships as well. Like I say, I'm sure that everyone here, if asked to, could share a story. We could hear some tragic stories about family life. Yet I'm also sure that we could share some wonderful stories, stories of amazing parents, loving siblings, joy of children, inspiring grandparents or aunts, family sticking by you through tough times, providing for you when in need. We know that when family works, it's a wonderful, blessed, sacred thing. We know it's a creation of God. We know from Genesis 1, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." These were God's words from day one. Jesus himself was born into a family. We saw that referred to in the verses we had read in verse 4 of Galatians 4. So what I'm going to do tonight is suggest just two things about family. And one is family shapes our identity. And secondly, that our role as a family member does come with responsibility. And what we'll be looking at is that whilst we have our earthly human family, and it may not always operate as it should, or it may not ever operate as it should, we're part of a wider family as children of God, which does have the wonderful promise of a perfect, loving parent, and the reality of one day living in perfect harmony with one another, experiencing perfect family. So firstly, our identity is tied up with family. And it's obvious in some ways. We talk about our family name. Now, my family name, my surname, is Bansbach, which is quite unusual, but that makes it quite easy to trace, and that's what my mum's done. And we know that a Michael Bansbach, which was complete coincidence, came to the UK back in the 1780s from Germany. And so that no one would think he was German, he changed the H at the end to a K, which I'm sure fooled everyone. And we can plot all the various locations that the Bansbacks have then since lived around London. And if you're interested, I could do a little talk to you at some point, which I'm sure you'd find fascinating about, you know, when they lived in East Dulwich and then when they lived in Stockwell and Hoxton. And it really is fascinating. And it's become quite a popular thing, tracing your family tree and your ancestry, to the extent there's that popular, apparently popular, that's what it said on the internet, BBC One TV programme, Who Do You Think You Are? Celebrities are helped to shape, to search for their ancestry, and somehow or other it seems that they have to get to a point where they make that celebrity or whoever it is cry. They've got to get to that point where they come up with some story about their past, their family history that will reduce them to tears. Which is interesting in a way, because it's partly about that fact I said we've all got a story about family. But it's also about the fact that there is something of our identity tied up in it. They may never have met these people who experienced these awful things back in, you know, the turn of the last century, but it's literally in our DNA, isn't it? It makes us who we are. The link between family and identity is reinforced when we do look at the Bible. And chronology is big in the Bible, as I'm sure many of you know. If you're doing one of those Bible studies and you're going around reading different passages, if you get to your turn and you're given that list of names to read out, and yeah, well, do you know what? The answer to that, there is now, if I have the next slide, there's now an app that will help you with audio pronunciations of all those names you struggle with. Now, I wasn't foolish enough to buy it, so I don't know if it's any good, but you could quickly now, if you just want, turn to the person sat next to you and quickly go through that list, there you go, of names that you can, if you can read those off the board. Very good, very good. Yeah. Right, time up. No, none of you got them right, sorry. No, I just know, because I'm stood here. No, we do see that in the Bible, family lineage is really important. The genealogy of Jesus is listed both in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And whilst being different, they both point to him being a descendant of King David, which was an important message for the audience of that time. It pointed to Jesus' identity. And in God's covenants throughout the Old Testament, his agreements with his people, they extend to the wider family. God's promises of land to Abraham was to all his offspring as well. And an inheritance, as we know it, maybe about the belongings of an older generation being passed on to the new. But also inheritance was the promises of God being passed on to the next generation. Family often governs the status in the Bible. The famous verses of Joshua in the Old Testament where he says, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And similarly, when Lydia often quoted as the first convert to Christianity, in the book of Acts, when she decided to get baptized, it describes how her whole household were baptized with her. There's that sense of family as one unit. Now, there may be very good reasons why considering your own identity with your family is an incredibly hurtful or painful thing to consider. Because we are all born into a family, but we don't have any choice about it, so we're quite powerless with this. And some of us, like my friend, may well need to seek regular counselling or therapy because of hurts that they've experienced in family. So it seems to be only when it goes horribly wrong that we become aware of how significant family is. Just this weekend, seeing the faces of those grieving the loss of family members killed in those Paris attacks. It's such a big part of who we are. But we know also that family comes with responsibility. And that's clear throughout the Bible. Two of the Ten Commandments deal with maintaining the cohesiveness of family. The Fifth Commandment is about honoring your parents. It's meant to preserve the authority of parents in family matters. And the Seventh Commandment is prohibiting adultery, which protects the sanctity of marriage. And then from those two commandments flow loads of Old Testament law, which seeks to protect family life. But it's not just an Old Testament thing. Paul also talks about what he feels Christian homes should look like when he gives the commands of children obey your parents and parents don't provoke your children. And there's lots more of it, whether we're a son, a daughter, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, grandparent, uncle, aunt, cousin, grandchild, whatever we are, it comes with responsibility. And Proverbs are full of stuff about family. Could have a good laugh at some of them, but I'll choose one. He who brings trouble on his family will inherit only wind. Paul has much stronger words when writing to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, you read, "Anyone who won't care for his own relatives when they need help, especially those living in their own family, they have no right to say they're a Christian." Strong stuff. But there is this expectation that we will care for, we'll bring blessing on our family. We contribute to the life of our family. Which makes it so ironic that all those examples are listed from the Bible of family appear so dysfunctional. And many of us will know that if we don't receive that blessing back, it can be so hard. Family love is unconditional. It's impartial, and that means it can be painful. Yet we also know that if and when we receive that love, that care, that unconditional acceptance, it's wonderful. And I hope and pray that all of us can receive that in some way. So it leaves me with just a few questions. How can we be a blessing to our family? What do we need to overcome to be a blessing to our family? What's in our control? What responsibility do we have? Are we meeting that responsibility? Or actually, what pain and hurt do we need to overcome so we can live unconditionally? I'll just mention three things at this point that I think are important. One, it's sometimes just simply not safe to continue contact with certain family members. I know that from the work that I'm involved in. I work in supported housing. I work with a lot of vulnerable people, people fleeing domestic abuse, fleeing all sorts of broken family situations. Secondly, the most pain that we experience may be about family members who are no longer with us. The pain of grief and memory. But third, the pain could also be about the lack of family. Dreams and hopes of a family which have never come to fruition. And these three scenarios, maybe one or two of those may affect some of us. So I think it's just important, and why we looked at that passage, the passage was read out to us, that we look just at the hope that the Bible also offers us for those of us in those situations. And it's those same two points I've made before we'll be looking at, identity and responsibility. Because those verses we had read to us tonight from Galatians, when we choose to follow Jesus, we are set free because we enter into a new family. And our identity as a member of this new family, our responsibility of this member, as a member of this new family, we'll just look at briefly before I finish. What Paul describes in his letter to the Galatians in these verses and many other passages is that we're adopted as God's children. We can call God Abba or Dad. We belong to him. It's as if we've changed our family name so that we're now defined as belonging to God. What a privilege it suggests in these verses. to be able to intimately approach God. And we're in the form of a child approaching him. And it's one of those things that you hear about so much in church. And I know that as I've been preparing this, it's about, do I really understand this, what this actually means for me in my identity? That it's now tied to God. If that show, TV show, was to ever come to me, and with all my wonderful stories about my family life, I'm sure they will one day, but they would be able to see that actually, I hope, unavoidably, that my identity is tied up in my identity with God. We're also part of a wider, extraordinary family of followers of Christ all around the world. And we no longer have just our imperfect parents, but instead also we have a perfect parent. And throughout the New Testament we hear references to our brothers. We belong to this new family. And it's no wonder then that we do hear Christians talk so much about family. And those of us who struggle with that word, like me, maybe need to fully understand what a wonderful possibility this new family really is. It also comes with inheritance as well. We inherit membership of God's perfect kingdom, and we can read about what that will look like in Revelation. So, as I've struggled with this question this week, I'll ask it to you. Have we allowed God to break through our sort of intellectual front and accept and understand our new identity? Yet also, just like in our immediate family life, we do come to our new family with responsibility. We're called to love our fellow brothers and sisters in this new family. We contribute to the lives of our new family. That may well be in the life of the church that you're part of. And that's not going to be easy all the time. I don't need to tell you that, probably. The characteristics of family love, being unconditional, loving, impartial, and forgiving in our approach, well, that may not always be easy with other Christians as well. We could probably again recount tales of being let down or hurt, bereaved, damaged by other Christians. And similar to our own family life, we may need someone to stand with us or pray with us in how we come to terms with that. Paul himself describes in his letter to the Corinthians that the more he loves them, the less he's loved back. We as humans are imperfect. But in this new family that we're part of, there's a couple of key differences. First, we have God as our adopted parent, who we can simply call Dad. And he's perfect. His love never stops giving. His faithfulness lasts forever. His wisdom is immense. Second, it's the promise that we have of perfect community to come. When there's no more pain, there's no more hurt. And although we may be experiencing many areas of imperfect family life, we have that amazing knowledge that we can all experience perfect family love through God, our Father. So, to conclude, family is our identity, but we may need help understanding and dealing with that, because of the hurt, the worry, the anxiety, the pain that comes with that. But we also have responsibility. We may be challenged to consider how we can live up to that. Yet we're adopted into God's family. And similarly, we may need assistance in accepting and understanding this for ourselves. But also the responsibility that goes with that. What's our role in our own family relationship, our immediate family, but also our wider Christian family? What about in our church? Are we living up to our responsibility? What practical steps can we take? How do we bring God's blessing into the lives of our brothers and sisters? If just the thought of you know, even hearing family being talked about is hard for you to hear, I'd just encourage you to share that with someone. Maybe someone from prayer team or someone you're with tonight. We've all been encouraged these past few weeks to be vulnerable, and that the reality is we need to take these steps together often to share that hurt as well as the encouragement. It can be a painful journey, but as we know, it's got a happy ending. Should we just pray? Father God, we thank you that you created us to live in family. And Father, we thank you that that can be a wonderful, sacred thing, but we also know it can be a painful, hurtful thing. And Lord, we just want to offer up our own situations to you and ask that you would enable us and equip us to be a blessing to our families. But we also thank you that you have adopted us so we can call ourselves children of the living God. We thank you that we can approach you and call you Abba, Father. And pray that as we accept our role and identity as being part of the family of God, that we would also live up to our responsibility that goes with it. Help us to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters who also seek to follow you. Amen.